morning. It's another Monday morning, and it's beautiful outside. You got to get outside. Get up, get the coffee down, head on outside, and take the dog for a walk. It's a beautiful day. My dog darn near killed me last night, though. I have a 15-year-old dog, and she is really hard to deal with at night. But we're getting along, I guess. Anyway, get outside and enjoy the beautiful weather that's out there. I had a week of evenings with my puppy, who wouldn't let me sleep very much. And so, therefore, I have so many things that I've thought about presenting on this show today that it might be all over the place. So, just sit back and enjoy that coffee. Maybe take me outside with your little radio and listen to, you know, whatever you want to listen to. But I hope you'll listen to me. And if you do want to call, let me give you the phone number so you can call in. Today's going to be, I'm going to talk about gun violence and gun legislation and that sort of thing. So there are probably several people that aren't real happy with where I stand on it, but we're going to talk about it. I can stand where I want to stand, and you can stand where you want to stand. That's what America's all about. Anyway, the phone number, 740-383-9944. Let me give you that one more time. 740-383-WWGH or 9944. Yeah, it's been an interesting week. I'm getting ready to go out and see my son out in California. We go out about every couple of years. He's an interesting young man. He was an all-American baseball player. He was an all-state baseball, basketball, and football player, and soccer player. And he has so many talents, but he followed a young woman who is a gorgeous sweetheart out to California, and that's where he stayed. And to heck with being a coach like he planned to be, and to heck with all that stuff. So he's out there, and you know what he did? He decided to become, because her father owns 2 acres. That's it. 2 acres of vineyard. And so he decided, along with the family, that they were going to establish the Majestic Oak Vineyard of Ojai, California. There's one, I believe, in Ohio, but it's not the same one. Anyway, and so he's been learning how to be a vintner. And so we're going to go out and maybe get our feet purple. they do that with, and I asked him the other day when he called, I said, do people still stomp on grapes? And he said, there are certain grapes that it's better if you stomp on them than if you use a mechanical press. So I'm going to find out more about that when we head out that way. But we're going to go out and say hi to them. They just bought 10 or at least 10 more acres. So and they have a wine tasting room, which is fantastic. If you ever get out to Ojai, look for the Majestic Oak Vineyard wine tasting room. And it's right downtown on the main street. And they have music, live music on the weekends. And it's really fun. They're on the air. I mean, they're on the internet. You can tune them in if you type that in. Anyway, well, that's where we're heading next week. But that wasn't what was keeping me awake. What was keeping me awake, and it's not a very happy subject. It's all the murders that we have seen over the last, I don't know, 2 decades, gun violence. And I've been told by the Democratic Party not to call it gun control. That's a bad word, control. Nobody likes to be controlled, but we need better gun legislation. In my opinion, we need better legislation on guns. I am not a hunter. When I was young, I did a little hunting. I didn't enjoy it. I did like fishing, but I don't even do that anymore. I guess I like outdoors. I just don't want to go out and kill things. And so I've decided that I have nothing against people. I have great friends that are hunters, big hunters, and I really don't have a whole lot against it. excuse me, that cough will never go away, I guess. I tried to think, why do people own a gun? And there are a lot of pretty, a few very obvious answers to that. And I support them all. One is hunting. And believe me, I've killed enough deer with my car that I don't mind thinning the herd a touch, especially if you go down to Southwest Ohio or Southeast Ohio. They're everywhere out there on Route 33. And if you're there at dusk, you better be careful. So I have nothing against hunting. I have nothing against people that are frightened and think they need self-protection. And I throw that in there, frightened and need self-protection. I've never felt frightened enough that I needed to buy a gun to protect myself from anybody. I have a bat, and I lock my doors, and I have a dog. So I don't feel unsafe. So I guess somebody could easily make me feel unsafe in no time at all by breaking into my house. But I've been very fortunate that nobody has decided that our house is any place to break into. Yeah, all they'd have to do is see the crap that's in my garage to know there's nothing in there worth anything. And there are some people that I'm trying to explain why you would own a gun. And a third reason might be for pest control. I know farmers, and I respect farmers and know that they need some pest control. And, there are varmints out there that want to kill their animals. There are varmints out there that want to kill their plants. Believe me, I'm a gardener, and I know about killing plants. I use fences rather than shooting the varmints and trapping them. That doesn't always work. So I understand why farmers and larger gardeners would want to have some control over the pests. And a fourth reason that I think is really legitimate is you're an antique collector. There are a lot of people that just love to collect old guns. And can you imagine owning a gun from, let's say, the Civil War or the Revolutionary War, even better, where you can say the last person that held this was New George Washington or something like that? I can understand that. But there's other reasons why people want to own guns. And those are not quite so honorable. One of them is to intimidate other people. There are a lot of people that I'm convinced that there are people that like carrying concealed so that they can tell everybody they have a weapon concealed on them so that they kind of intimidate you. Aren't you afraid of me now? If we get back to the days, and we do have, you can have open carry, I believe, in the state of Ohio. I know in Virginia, where the latest massacre happened, they have open carry. If we get back to Wild West days, where everybody has to strap one on when you're going out into public, I'm really going to be upset. But anyway, that reason for owning a gun, I think, is absolutely bogus, to intimidate other people. First of all, it says more about you than it says about the other people. There are people that use guns to murder other people. Let's face it. And that's not a good reason. There are people that use it to not murder people, but imply that they will if they don't give them their goods. In other words, the robbers in the world who use firearms. And there are some people that have to have guns for their own self-esteem. I like to tell my wife, that guy wants to have a gun because he wants you to think he has large genitals. And I know I probably shouldn't say that, but I've talked to people like that, and I really believe there are a lot of people that that carry a gun or imply that they're a gun carrier because of that. I've talked to some people when I was running for office last time that are pro-gun, and they have all sorts of good talking points. I guess they're good, but they have lots of talking points that they think are convincing. But they're going to have to work a little harder to convince me that we need all these guns in the world. Let me go through some of the things I think we could do about gun legislation. And you're welcome to call and disagree with me. I understand there are a lot of people, a lot of well-thinking people that will disagree with some of this stuff. It's just the way I feel. I was brought up as a minister's kid. I believe that we should treat each other kindly, I try to do that, and I don't think guns work into that situation. I think, and I heard Pete Buttigieg say the other day, the first thing I think we need to do is register all guns, not just the guns you buy now. I think all guns should be registered like all cars are registered. Even if you have an antique car, it's registered. Even if you have a car that you race only, they are registered in a way. I think if there's an accident or a robbery or a murder, God forbid, goes on, and they can find out the gun through, you know, bullets or stuff like that. I'm not real good at how they do that, but if they can find out what gun did it, I think the owner of that gun should be responsible in some way. And that's why I believe that we should register all guns, guns that you buy at a pawn store. As a matter of fact, I'm not a big fan of allowing you to sell your guns through a pawn shop, but if it's done and they're registered when they're sold legally, and so that there's a federal registry on you if you buy that gun or at a swap meet or at a yard sale, I think those guns, and I think you need to file the paperwork for that type of weapon, all of them. I believe that we should not have silencers. Why in the world would you want a silencer if it wasn't a nefarious reason? maybe you're going out hunting late at night and you don't want to wake somebody up. That might be the only reason I can think you'd want a silencer. Or you don't want to frighten the animals. Well, you're trying to kill the animals, so don't worry about frightening them. I really think silencers should be absolutely verboten. Now, you can require that nobody makes them in the United States. You can't require that nobody makes them abroad. So people will still be able to buy them through the black market that way. But if they're caught with it, they should be prosecuted. I also believe that one of the easiest things we could have done back when the Las Vegas shooting happened, one of the easiest things that we could have done and I thought was going to get done was to ban bump stocks. There is no reason in the world for having a bump stock. Now, what does that do to help you while you're hunting? I suppose you can blast the heck out of a deer with 150 rounds. What good's the meat? And if you're hunting, are you hunting for the reason of getting meat for the table, or are you just hunting to blow Bambi's brains out? I don't understand that at all. Why would you want to kill an animal just to kill an animal? You know, there are a lot of studies about mass killers, mass murderers, who have fantasized about and actually tortured animals and fantasized about killing animals and stuff like that. Think about that. I mean, there. If you're a hunter, are you? And people say they hunt for sport. I don't see the sport in shooting defenseless animal. Now, if you go out and you fight the animal to the death and he's allowed to gore you with his horns and you don't have a gun, maybe that's fair. But I'm not sure about shooting it from 100 yards away with a telescopic lens and a rifle whose muzzle velocity is so fast it just blows its head off or blows its chest out of it. Anyway, okay. And I'm certain that there are laws about this, about selling automatic weapons. There are no sales of machine guns. You're not allowed to buy machine guns. And I'm sure there are people that find ways to do it. And you might even be able to buy one under the auspices that it's an antique. But I think those should be absolutely banned, that nobody can sell them from one person to the next. And if they are, it's a federal offense. I believe that we ought to have some restriction on the sale of our military-style weapons. I remember, as a former soldier, I remember going to the firing range, and Drill Sergeant Sims put two gas cans at the end of the firing range, and we shot at them until somebody hit them, and they exploded to high heaven. If you've ever seen the demonstration on how a high-velocity bullet goes through, I can't remember what it is, but it's like a wax material that imitates a body. A 22 will go through it cleanly, boring a hole through it, maybe instead of the size of the 22, maybe three or four times the size of a 22 bullet. But like an M16, the size of the bullet is about the same as a 22. But if you shoot that through that stuff, or many of these military weapons, you shoot it with the high muzzle velocity, you shoot them through that wax, it explodes the wax into billions of little pieces, and that's what it does to your body. That's why people who are shot in the hand with one of those guns may lose their arm, or at least lose their hand. I also believe we ought to we shouldn't have gun sales without the registration and transfer of ownership. People should know who owns each and every gun. Now, I know there are people out there going, oh, you know how much work that's going to be? Yes, and I don't care. I really don't care. I think we ought to know who owns weapons. Now, I'm not going to make you wear a big G on your chest say, for guns, but I think we ought to be able to look up what of your friends have weapons and know who you should at least watch. This gentleman who killed so many people out at in Virginia this past week, I think he bought several guns in the last month or so. Which brings up another thing. I think there should be a longer waiting period after you buy a weapon, and I think you should be required to buy, you know, have a limit on the number of weapons you can buy in a year, let's say. These rules all will have to be adjusted based on sensibility, not based on my beliefs or your beliefs. What's sensible? Do you need 25 guns every year? Probably not. Remember, the reasons why we have guns are for hunting, self-protection, pest control, and antique collection, none of which would require you to own a military-style gun, none of which would require you have a silencer, none of which would require that you not have it registered. Registering does a couple of things. First of all, now you know where the gun is and who owns the gun, and it also brings cash into our government. So I think we should have a longer waiting period after gun ownership. If you buy a gun, there's no reason. You're not going to see a gun on the shelf and say, oh, I've got a hat. Well, you might, but I don't think you need that gun in your house within 20 minutes. You can wait a month. You pay your money. The gun is put on basically on, what do they call that? Well, anyway, it's stored by the company that sold it to you, and then you can go pick it up in a month. I really think a month is short enough. I think we need better background checks. We definitely need to have our background checks standardized so that every state does the same, at least minimal, background check stuff. And I'm sure there are laws like that, but it doesn't seem like we're catching many flies in the ointment with these background checks. We continue to have more and more people shot in mass murders. One of the things that I really believe that we must do is reduce the size of the magazine. Now, you tell me why you need 30 rounds to kill a deer. You're a very bad shot, maybe. But if that's the case, maybe you ought to go to a range and practice if you want to be a better shot. 30 rounds. And if you had a bump stock and you could fire 30 rounds, you probably can fire them off in 5 seconds. And you'll probably hit a deer with one or two of those shells if they don't fly over the hill and kill the farmer's wife on the other side. But anyway, reduce the magazines to a normal size, or at least a size that is more usable. 5 or 7 shots. There's no reason to have 30 shots. 3 shots is plenty. When I was firing the M16, that's what they gave us at basic training. Just for your information, Friday is Gun Violence Day. And they're suggesting that people that are like-minded with me wear orange on that day. I will be wearing orange on that day. People that argue that against the rules that I have just stated, which are very simple, not aggressive laws, people that argue against them always say, well, it's a slippery slope and you're going to take my guns away. I know no one, and I know a lot of progressives, I know no one that wants to take your guns away. None. I have never heard even people whispering in the back room, you know, once we get that registration done, then we can take everybody's gun away. I don't know anybody that has ever said anything like that on my side of the aisle. That's not why people want to regulate guns. Australia regulated guns severely, and they have no mass shootings now. None. Ever since they had a horrible one several years ago, probably a couple decades ago, and they basically did what I'm just saying. They controlled the gun ownership. People still own guns in Australia. But they're not just everywhere. They're not, you can't just go pick one up and go out shooting 20 minutes later. Anyway, I encourage you to wear orange on Friday. Hey, by the way, also Thursday is D-Day. 75th anniversary of D-Day, our landing on Normandy beaches to free up the European continent from Nazi control. As a veteran, I always note that day, but I'm not a big bleeding heart veteran. I just think about it. And I think you should thank, if you have members of your family that were, well, if they served, definitely say thanks, Dad or Mom or whatever. But if they were members of the military, you might pat them on the back and say, I'm proud of you. I'm not a big fan of that, though. I'm embarrassed when people say thanks for your service. First of all, I was in the United States Army Field Band, which is the national touring band of the Army. I saw as much action in basic training as I ever saw the rest of the time. So I feel a little guilty and I feel a little embarrassed when people say that. But I appreciate that they care about the young people that did serve their government that way. Quite frankly, being a minister's son, my mother wanted me to be a conscientious objector, but I just couldn't. I couldn't find it in myself to say that I was a conscientious objector. So anyway, I was lucky enough that I got to play in the United States Army Field Band. But I served 3 years, and I did go to basic training, and it was during Vietnam, so there was always a chance. A question that came up to me, we've had so much, you know, Ohio is one of the, and I'm going to say this, ignorant states that has decided that they're going to put in a 6-week ban on abortion after you have, if you find out you have a baby. After 6 weeks, you cannot have an abortion. Anyway, if you're against abortion, I want to know why you're not against gun proliferation. Guns kill tens of thousands of people, maybe more than that, every year. And I'm saying just in the United States, not including all the stupid wars we have in the world. But guns kill living people. They kill people that have children. They kill people that have lives. They kill people that are working. They kill people that like, love, and hate people. whereas abortion does away with an embryo. And I know there, that's the big argument. Is the embryo a human? Well, I'm not sure. As you probably know, if you've listened to me very long, I am not pro-abortion. I am pro-choice by the woman who has the embryo inside. I would never tell my daughter to have an abortion. I would tell my daughter, let grandpa and grandma take care of that baby. But if she felt that that was not in her best interest and not her the right thing to do for her, I would never tell her she could not have an abortion. So therefore, yes, I'm anti-abortion, but I am pro-choice, if you can understand that. I was talking with somebody who is so proud that we have free markets in the United States, and that's why we have gotten so good. Well, we don't have free markets anymore. The markets are run by people not like you and me. They're run by people that have money coming out of their ears. And the way they have money coming out of their ears is they buy people, legislators, and legislation that gets more money for them. If you think that we have a free market, I think you need to think that through. Who are the rich people in the world? I'll guarantee you'll find out the rich people in the world are only rich because mommy and daddy were rich, or they're rich because they got rich on top of rich. I think we ought to think about that. By the way, another thing that I wanted to bring up, I had all sorts of stuff that my puppy dog and I sat and thought about in the last few nights. 1 in 3 African-American men will be victims of our corrections system. 1 in 3. I don't understand that at all. And I'm not going to tell you my best friend's a black man. I mean, that's one of the biggest, that drives me crazy when people tell me things like that. I'm just saying 1 in 3 of anything is way too much. 1 in 3 women that are in jail. 1 of 3 Asians. 1 in 3 African-American men will become victims of our correction system. That's just nuts. Think about that when you're voting. And vote for somebody that's sensible. Don't vote for, well, Ohio's, it's too late. You voted for a pretty corrupt, and I'm not sure corrupt is the right word. You voted for a bunch of people that really haven't thought through stuff. I think American, we should have American unity, not party unity. You know, we've gotten to the point where I'm not going to vote for a Republican because I'm a Democrat. Well, that's kind of stupid. Vote for the best person that you look at people, read what they have to say, and then vote for the best person for your best interest. Not vote because that person's a good Democrat or that person's a great Republican. I lost my battle against a Republican lady that just voted for the 6-week ban on abortion. And I believe that in the state of Ohio, it's about 60% of the people in Ohio, which is low, 60%. I believe it's about that believe we should allow and have legal abortions. I don't understand. I apologized on Twitter this week to the women whose rights are being taken away from them by this group of people that want to control what they do with their bodies. I apologize to you for not working harder to win that position. Whether I had a chance or not, I don't know, but I didn't work hard enough. And if I ever decide to get back into it, and we've talked about that, I would not get back into politics unless it was national. I've thought about running against Jim Jordan and probably leaning well away from that. But if I ever get back into politics, I'm going to work harder. I'm going to work so hard, it's going to make my teeth sweat. Anyway, did you know? I was shocked. Fox News is losing money, and they're all upset about the fact that they're losing money. So you know what's happening? They're becoming more moderate because they want more people to pay attention. And people are not paying attention to the thousands of lies that we get out of this president and, quite frankly, are supported by Fox News. The media is, and I'd say all media right now, is changing their attitude based on money. We don't need that. One of the nice things one of the proud things I can remember doing is fighting a boss at a radio station about letting his buddy get away with something because his buddy had lots of money and owned the building that we were broadcasting out of. And the news director and myself and a couple other people fought the owner of the station on that. And ended up kind of winning. Anyway, one of the things, I may have mentioned this last week. I read a quote from Muhammad Ali, or I heard his daughter say that he often said, "Be charitable, kind, and giving." Muhammad Ali said that. If he can be that kind of person, we can all be that kind of person. Oh! I forgot to tell you when we started. I have actually gotten into the second section of the Mueller report. And if you get into the second section and you don't believe that there was any sort of cover-up or any sort of, what is the word I'm looking for? Anyway... the second section explains exactly what is meant by I can't think of the word that they use all the time. It basically means covering up. But if you don't believe it, read the Mueller report. It tells you what the definition of it is. It then goes through and explains how these all this stuff was done, which is illegal. It goes through and explains it pretty carefully. Now, I will admit to you, it's very difficult to go through all the it lists the reasons, or it lists the pages where you can find these laws. It lists the Coble versus Smith, the laws that are cases that help to define it. Obstruction, that's the word I was looking for. And obstruction is against the law. And obstruction doesn't have to be, it's a little hard to prove it because there is no material thing that you can hold up and say, this was stolen from such and such. But the first part of the second section of the report goes through and explains what obstruction is. It explains how you can tell whether it's obstruction. You can tell, it explains whether it, when it's against the law and when it's not against the law. Basically, if it's done for corrupt purposes, it's against the law. Any obstruction. Telling I'll give you a pardon if you just be a good guy. Well, that's obstruction. And it goes through. And then the second section I'm into starts to explain how so many of the people did obstruct. And how in the world we will ever think, if you read the report, you will side with the people who believe this may be the most corrupt presidential leadership we have ever had. Now, I know there were a lot of, we've had some bad presidents. The one who comes from Marion wasn't the greatest of all times. As a matter of fact, I read an article that said the most corrupt action a government has taken until now was the Teapot Dome scandal, which was in, Harding was supposedly involved in. He claims he was not, but that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Anyway, the Mueller report talks about the lack of morality and patriotism of the people that were involved, how there is no regard for fairness. It's money that counts. It also talks about our relationship with the Russians. Now, when I was a kid, if somebody had said we had relationships with the Russians, that would have been an automatic, I'm not voting for him. But now we have people who claim to be righteous and claim to be caring about other people, but they don't mind voting for a guy that's supported, and Putin admitted that he wanted Trump to win. They don't mind voting for a guy that grabs women by the genitals, kisses them when they don't want to be kissed, talks in glowing terms with people who are thugs and corrupt and autocratic leaders while running down people of his own party that were war heroes. You'll have to explain to me why in the world you would vote for that person. Anyway, that's just my feeling. I know there are people that disagree with me, a lot of people that disagree with me. I know I've heard it before, but he gets great judges on the bench. Okay, if that's all you want is great judges, and you don't care about morality, you don't care about fairness. You don't care about empathy. You don't care about corruption. I guess that's how you vote. But all of the above make me sick to my stomach. Anyway, I'm going through my list on my phone. I type all this into my phone while I'm sleeping or while I'm in bed. Sometimes the light's off and I have no idea what I just typed. But I'm sorry I got off on this, my strong feelings about these things. But I can't imagine that we need to have as many guns as we have. I can't imagine we need to tell as many lies as we tell. I think, what is it, one of the major newspapers has Trump over 10,000 lies. And all you have to do is listen, and you know it's a lie. I mean, anyway, if my child acted like Trump, he would have been spanked to within an inch of his life. Now, I know there are a lot of people that don't think you should spank your child. And you'll have to ask Christopher if he ever got spanked. He did. The worst thing I ever did to one of my kids, I guess I actually kicked my youngest son. I didn't kick him hard, but he was laying on the ground and he did something that annoyed me. And so I thumped him in the butt with my foot. But that it shocked him so much that even today he will remind me, well, you kicked me. But I think it's his badge of courage that he likes to say that his dad was tough on him. I was not very tough on my kids. Which reminds me, I did have a week-long visitation from my grandchildren. The Cobles of Worthington came up. And my two twin grandsons and my granddaughter stayed with us for about 5 days, along with my granddog, which gets along very well with my 15-year-old blind, yappy little hound that I stay up with every night. Actually, she seems to have better days when she's had them with this dog's name is Relay. I have no idea why they named him Relay, but that's her name. So anyway, I had a good week. Can't complain. I would like a little bit more sleep. I'm losing a lot of sleep with this hound. But I hope you have a wonderful week. Next Monday, I will be back here, and I guess Monday is our 5th anniversary, and the radio station's 5th anniversary. I would love to come and enjoy. They're going to have a party in the evening, but I'm going to be getting ready to get in the car and head west. If you're interested in robbing my house at that time, be careful. All my neighbors know me, and I have the police informed that I will be out of town. So, and there's nothing in the house to steal anyway. Unless you want my fish, and that's okay. You can take my fish. I've only had them for few months. My big old fish, I had a big fish. He was about a pound. He was a big fish for a 10-gallon tank. But he parted ways with us one day and found the bottom of the toilet. So anyway, I have four little fish. So if you want to steal them, you can come steal them. Everything else is pretty much hand-me-downs from grandparents that run our house. And we're not hoarders. We don't have enough money to buy lots of fancy stuff. So our fancy stuff is from Grandpa and Grandma Makovsky and Grandpa and Grandma Coble. And we do have a lot of stuff. I sleep on a couch that's probably older than I am. And the only reason why I sleep on the couch is because the poor puppy dog can't jump down off of our four-poster bed. So I have to sleep lower so the doggy can get up and down. Well, it's been nice talking with you. I hope I haven't offended too many of you. And if I have, You're more than welcome to disagree with me. That's what America is all about. We should be happy that we can disagree with each other. That's part of being an American. That's part of enjoying our free life, as opposed to enjoying a life with a leader like Mr. Putin, who runs iron-fisted places, or even worse, whatever that guy's name is from North Korea, Un. I am so thankful that I was not born and raised in that neighborhood. Well, have a nice day. We'll talk to you next week.
In Ohio, the talking place. For people like the first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
If Donald Trump does get in, what kind of damage could he do? He's got to deal with Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court. From somebody who's been there and dealing with foreign countries, if he's in there, what could there be a bad future?
I'm concerned about that. I have said that if he gets elected, it is a danger to the United States. The truth is, in many ways, just the kinds of things that he's saying during the campaign is a danger to the United States.